Blog Talk Radio.
This is Marty Oakley of the PPJ Gazette Online, and this is TS Radio. Our show this evening is Exposing Medical Predators, and your host will be Carly Walden. I want to say that Carly is not an attorney. She is not attempting to practice law and cannot and does not give legal advice. All guests that appear on this show have fully documented the statements they will be making, so nothing here is an alleged event. It actually occurred. They can prove it. And with that, here's your guest, or your host, Carly Walden. Take it away, Carly.
All right. Good evening, everyone. And thank you. Welcome to the show, wherever you may be in this world tonight. I am so glad to have you listening in. This is Victims and Whistleblowers as well. That's also who we interview. But I wanted to, what we're going to be speaking about tonight is, unfortunately, the demise of Dorothy Darren, okay? And I want to talk about our two guests. Our two guests are Faith Darren and Tim Kleckner. First, I wanted to give a little bit of background about Faith Darren. Faith Darren was a bodybuilder, and she worked for a trucking company, and then she cleaned houses for the elderly people. She is now an advocate for animals, and she's becoming a very strong advocate for the elderly. Tim Kleckner studied professional business management at Nova Southeastern University, and he works for the government currently. I do want to mention that Faith is manages animal intervention, rescue and rights, and in trophy hunting now. Those are groups that you can find on Facebook. So, with all of that being said, welcome, Faith, and welcome, Tim.
Hi, Carly.
How are
you,
Carly?
It's so good to have you on the show.
For a little bit more information, my business professional management degree was a BS degree. I have an MBA degree, okay?
Oh, that's wonderful. Okay, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
And when I was younger, I worked at Publix Bakery and for some attorneys.
That's nice.
Yeah.
I'm sure that some of that helped, especially with the attorney, with what we're going to be talking about this evening.
Yes.
So what I wanted to do is I wanted to start right off the bat, and unfortunately, it is the demise of your. This is your mother. We're
My
talking
mom.
About Faith's mother, Dorothy Darren.
Mother.
Yes, her dear mother, and Dorothy's mother. You know, I mean, Faith's mother, Dorothy, did pass away in a hospice. She was murdered in a hospice. But what I want you to do is tell our audience, Faith. I want you to give our audience the voice for your mother. This is your platform to let the world know what they did to your mom, what happened to her.
I cannot even begin to start. It's so horrific. Other than she was neglected, she was abused. She spent the last years of her life, years, 8 months, for example, in hospice. Who does that? In like she was in prison, starved,
mm-hmm.
bed sores, no food, no stimulation, maybe initially in the nursing home. But my mother didn't, and no elderly deserves, or any person deserves, to be tortured she was tortured in these facilities. Actually, I've witnessed, and I was in a few of them, neglect the patients, and my mom was severely neglected to the point it got me very ill. But of course I was castrated, so to speak, where I could not do anything. My hands were tied because another family member was the power of attorney and had
so the audience knows, right, so another family member was the medical power of attorney. And, you know, I speak about this a lot. It is so important that whoever your medical power of attorney is, that is literally someone you must trust with your life. And it doesn't have to be family, it can be friends, but let me just tell, that is, I'm glad that you brought that up, because you've lived through it, Faith.
Well,
this is a perfect example of that. So,
well, what's important about that they need to know is, once that person is in place, if they are not right in their decision making with complete empathy, compassion, and respect and dignity for the person that entrusted them, so to speak, maybe they didn't entrust them, however it came to be.
Mm-hmm.
They take over their finances as well, so they can do
mm-hmm.
whatever they want. They take over all,
mm-hmm.
like we discussed, the medical. And so
mm-hmm.
now this person owns you. They could do what they want, just as a professional guardianship could step in and tell your legal loved one, husband, wife, you know, son, child, whatever, oh, we don't think you're fit to take care of this legal family member of yours, so we're coming in, removing them against their will, and putting them in this facility. And you know what? We're going to run all of their health, medical, financial, and you know what? We don't think you could visit them maybe once a week. I don't think it's healthy, or maybe not at all, which they did, by the way, the power of attorney, was severely
mm-hmm.
restricted me, like I was a redheaded stepdaughter, from seeing my mom.
Okay.
Caring.
Okay. Okay. So that definitely makes the point on, you know, on whom you are putting in position of power in that place. Now, going back to your mother was in a nursing home, and you saw the neglect that your mother went through and the horrible she had to endure there.
Faith's mother was in a nursing home, but she was in
okay.
a special section for people with mental disabilities.
Memory
such
care.
Such as dementia, okay?
Okay.
Now, unfortunately, because of people who have control over her well-being,
mm-hmm.
she wasn't, people in her condition, and the amount of staff that they have in these nursing homes, because they're limited on their staff, and I would be willing to say that they're really limited on their health care ability.
Uh-huh.
There's too many educational facilities across the country that push people through to be physical therapists and health care facility personnel, and to me,
uh-huh.
I don't think people are really educated enough to do what they're really doing. It's a low-paying job, so you get what you pay for. But unfortunately, you put people in these homes, and they are not treated well. I have experience with this through my whole lifetime of working these places as a subcontractor for a family business. So since I was
okay.
a teenager, I've seen that the amount of care that people get in these things and the way they're treated is really poor. Unless you're going to something that's really exclusive, which is going to cost a lot of money, I find it hard to believe that anybody's getting any real good care in these places. But as I...
Right, and Tim, that's based on your experience.
Yeah, I watch
that
this thing for years. And what I'm telling you what's going on is I watch what was going on with Faith's mother. And when somebody has control over your finances and your well-being, then there's a problem, okay? Now, she's in a home where she actually even had this home had little apartments. Well, I think there was some kind of deal where she wasn't even allowed to sleep in the bedroom, because that bedroom, or that little apartment she had, which didn't have a kitchen facility, it was really just a bedroom with a bathing facility in there. She wasn't allowed to stand. They were using that as a showroom.
Yeah, they used it as a showroom, and she was always sitting when I would come because I was restricted, but I still would come like at 6 in the morning, surprise visits, odd hours, which would aggravate them. I'd find my mom in the facility sitting by herself in her clothing from the day before, twirling chicken in her hand and it all over her blouse, just staring straight ahead. She was like being drugged up. And the chicken was all over her, and she was just there by herself. She must have been punished or they were angry, but she wasn't in her room. So imagine sitting there all night, that poor thing alone. And this was only a couple of years into the facility. I found her twirling chicken. That means dinner is at 5. I came 6 in the morning, and they were angry, and she had chicken and her clothing on. My heart was breaking, but my hands were tied. I had to endure this disgust.
This woman was not sleeping in her bed. She was in the wheelchair all night long.
This is the nursing home. We haven't even gotten to the horrific hospital.
This is before she even got into the situation of hospice. However, I will tell you that from the time that she was put into this nursing home, I believe there was plans. These plans go along with what's going on in the industry, the medical industry, in my opinion, right now. There was a plan. She sat in the home, and the person who put her in this home is telling all her immediate relatives, say your piece because she's going to only live a few months.
So they're already deciding, which happens a lot of time, you know, that know what will happen.
She lasted 6 years, Carly, in that home till she was put in hospice.
It's like a plan to me. How much could you abuse people before they're going to go? And I'll tell you, even though she had dementia, I don't believe dementia was her only problem. She had MS, and she was of an age where you have ailments. I got plenty of ailments myself. But unfortunately, it's not a reason to die. Okay? Dementia's not a reason to die. Or whether or not you have
MS
or whatever. You're
going to
die
sooner
or later. Anyway, you might as well be comfortable in your time period of going towards your ultimate end. We're all going to the ultimate end. But unfortunately, this poor woman was abused. Her last 2 years there, I was going there. And I heard people brag about how well they groomed her. That woman had yellow toes and yellow feet, fingernails. These things were so bad that this was fungus on top of a fungus. Who in the hell is going in there and even cleaning this up? You tell me.
What?
I don't know if anybody's had that before. I get a little bit of it. I'm appalled. But this was disgusting, and this is part of abuse that's going on.
And
Where they started putting her in a corner and not feeding
her. Facing the wall, I come in, and she'd be facing, this is a nursing home, facing the wall by herself. I guess she was punished again. I would go in there, and there would be other elderly people that weren't being fed. And I would go in their back room. I took charge, and I started grabbing the aprons, putting it on them, taking the plates, putting it around, and they were getting mad, and I would feed those.
So you started
just
helping everyone
with this,
else
what?
In the nursing home. Bless them, your heart.
This is a nursing home, yes.
What they're doing is they're the doctors and the people who really are for that mindset are setting them up and coaching people on what they need to do to be able to eliminate their loved ones, if that's what they are.
No, but this is the future. Everyone should know. When my mom and this other lady went to sit on the couch, the other lady missed the couch, and the few that was there that night thought that was the funniest thing, to watch this poor woman fall on the floor, who a couple of months later mysteriously cracked her forehead in the bathroom. So, need I say any more?
Most of the people that I saw in this place were pretty much dementia patients. And I went there limited. Not as much as faith. But I've never seen a doctor who came into this place. And the first thing, great for him, right? When I first saw the guy, he was at the dinner table and he was eating away. He couldn't eat enough food. It wasn't more than a couple of weeks later. And his face is in the bowl. Now, what happened?
No.
Are we medicating this guy a little bit too much or what? Who's watching what's going on? Now, as Faith's mother is getting to the point where now they're going to start playing these. Every time I started seeing when he come by there, she's way too drugged up. Okay.
Okay, but, so that speaks to the point of what we've been talking about, that they chemically restrain the elderly with psychotropic drugs to not deal with them, okay? And we know that that's happening. It happened with your mother. And it's not only happening to your mother, but it's happening to a lot of mothers and fathers and, people that are in these homes. And they're doing it, and it's just disgusting. And, I'm so sorry.
They come in,
so sorry.
They're walking, and next thing you know, their heads are, I'm not kidding, in the plate.
They're walking,
flopping,
now they're falling.
All over the place. They're coming in talking, walking, with dementia. They have problems, word finding, but they're trying to communicate and eat and watch TV, and next thing you know, heads are in the plate. I am not exaggerating. Heads are literally in the plate. Food is all over them, and it's a joke to them. One woman sneezed, and the help ran away. I got up from the table, got up some wet rags, wiped it down. I felt so bad for her because you could see in her face she wasn't that mobile anymore. But the look in her face was so sad. She was a somebody. She was a little baby at one time. She was a toddler, a teenager. She was a college person. She was a mother, a grandmother, and now she was nothing but a piece of meat to be abused. So they laughed. I fed her, cleaned her up because she sneezed and I guess mucus came out. Well, if you're in the health field, stay out of it because it's not exactly you're dealing with bodily fluids and these type of things. So that's why you're in a professional place with morons running it.
Right. And
I'm
so,
sorry.
Okay, so we,
idiot.
No, I mean, that's fine. So, you guys both experiencing, Dorothy, neglected and abused in the nursing home. And then how did it come about where she was going to be moved out of the nursing home? What was the next step?
Let me just
enter. The nurse said she didn't have any problems.
One nurse, I questioned one nurse prior to going into the hospice, which, remember, I don't know any of this is going on. She's taken out of the house. I have to do detective work and find her. Then after she's removed from that place to the next, I have to do more detective work. My face keeps showing up. But while she was in this nursing home, I said, is my mother dying? Your mother's fine. Her heart's fine. She's okay. Don't worry. I said, are you sure? Because I went up to another doctor who was from
a large firm. Work throughout.
That hospice.
Okay.
And I said to him, he said to me, I have a solution for you. Put your mother in hospice. Just like that to me. Like my mother is nothing. The woman who gave birth to me.
Still raised me,
changed me, fed me.
So where do you think the ideas come from to let people who are the relatives or power attorneys of these people get these great ideas of how they're going to solve a financial problem? And believe me, Dorothy Darren was worth millions of dollars.
Well, she was very comfortable.
She had
yeah
enough to survive. So at this point, from what Faith is talking about, there was several attempts to try to move Dorothy to different places that Faith kept blocking as much as she had. One of them was a nurse who was a subcontracted nurse who worked at the nursing home, and she had a little home where she had beds in, and she had somebody watching these people in beds who wasn't really qualified to do it.
And I asked her, how often can I see my mom? She said you could see her once a week for lunch for a half hour. And I looked at her and I said, you know what, ma'am? This bird isn't going to fly, and why don't you change your uniform? It's filthy. And I just left her facility.
I think we did find out that it wasn't accredited.
It wasn't. It was just someone's house, and they stuff him in there.
But that's what they do.
Okay,
what happened with Faith,
so
it was
she was in
over.
That home.
No,
that
she wasn't even
not,
at her.
She didn't get to go to that.
I blocked
it.
But she was
okay,
lucky
you
to block
it.
That.
Okay, good. Okay,
but
you
what
blocked
the next
it.
Thing
okay,
happened
so
was,
what was, hold on just a minute, Tim. What was the, from going from the nursing home where you guys saw all of this disgusting behavior, where did she go next?
June 27th, 2016, she went to this wonderful place a little further west, making it so even more difficult for me to get out there, where she was put in a home, someone else's home, looked like a regular house, and upstairs, there's maybe three bedrooms with two people in each, and a makeshift back room for two people, one foreigners that stayed in like the garage, and then my mom, they made her a little bed in a little room where she, that was her place. And when I would go to visit her initially to this place, which I had to find where it was, Google, figure it out, and then I showed up, which surprised everyone. Somehow it's an intuition. And they let me in. Of course, she's in her stationary position, facing a wall. That's always standard in nursing homes. Facing a wall is very important. They like to stick you in a wheelchair and find a wall and have you just face it, maybe in a corner by yourself, no TV, just a wall. So that's it. That's what they have to offer. So she was doing what we call walling. So she walked a lot at that place.
Okay. So you find her, you go to this house, which I would assume is being, you know, someone is using that, their home or something, and they're using that to house people. Okay,
yeah.
I've heard of this. And so what condition was your mother in? We already know she was not in good condition at the nursing home. So what condition was she in when you found her at this house?
Initially, of course, because she left the nursing home, she was in that, on her deterioration down, but nothing like when she went, the transformation from June 27th to approximately November is when the real transformation really kicked in. It was unbelievable.
Okay.
I have photos of it. Different photos.
Let's talk about that. Yeah.
Well, I have photos.
Tell me.
Okay.
Photos. Expound on that. Yeah.
She's in it. Okay. For example, when I appealed for help with you.
Yes, that's when we had been talking. You got in touch with me.
I was at Wisden and I called you. She had, like, for example, a toe that was so swollen and looked like
it's the same toe that was never cleaned.
Fungus that was never treated. It looked like a piece of cake. They would stuff a shoe on it that the woman was in pain. Then she would sit in a wheelchair that was too big that they eventually had to take her out of it. She was not bathed, clean.
There was no way for them to possibly
feeding. She was at this point. She could not. Now the disease progressed where she couldn't even scratch her eye.
There was no way in the world.
Okay. What were you saying, Tim?
There's no way in the world that this place could possibly give her a clean shower or anything.
No.
This was a regular home. It was a home
that
was turned
into an assisted
living facility.
So it sounds to me like she was just dumped.
There was no ADA accessibility showers. She's in a wheelchair. How are they going to get her into the shower when it has a 4-inch lip? Are they going to jump her over the thing? It wasn't made for ADA. From the time this woman went in there, she wasn't washed for months when she left the last place. The hospice started in the last place. The last few months of where she was in nursing home, they started not feeding her.
Yeah.
Fortunately, the place was close enough.
Okay, wait.
Far away
wait.
From
you
Faith,
just said they
Faith
started not
coming,
feeding her.
And she kept feeding. Faith was the one that kept feeding.
I was getting in trouble. Remember I called you in the...
Well, that's what was happening.
Yes,
at
this
the
is important.
She went
I
to the new place.
I want to
tell... Because what happens is when you do go into these places, they do stop feeding, okay, and they stop giving hydration. And I remember being with Faith on the phone and helping her, and she was scared to death because, you know, they retaliate against you if you try to give them food and if you try to give them nutrition. So... Go ahead, Faith. I remember
Trouble for giving her boost. I said, you're not giving my mother anything. We giving her special food. I said, what is it? It's just a green paste. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she's not. I said, she is hungry. Yeah, I'll feed her. And I'd grab the bowl and feed her. Then they caught me giving boost. It was like, well, God knows what I was doing. The police yelled at me, don't give your mother boost. I had police in there at that point.
Well,
remember?
At that point, they were
remember?
Poisoning her.
They were trying
yeah,
to say
so
I'm
what
poisoning.
Happened is her mother, yeah, I wound up intervening here as an elder advocate and called the police, and it requested for EMTs to go in and check Dorothy Barron. And basically, they did not. They just they didn't do anything. This woman had had bed sores, and I had pictures to see that, and they just didn't. They didn't do anything. And then the police, yes, the police were
reprimanded
laughing.
Reprimanded me.
Well,
yeah,
I
they
actually,
were. Mm-hmm, they were. Yeah, because.
I actually. Yeah.
Wait. Yeah. Go ahead. Go ahead, Tim.
I actually called the State's Department for Children and Families that regulates elderly abuse, all right, and I made a complaint because, unfortunately, the person who ran this place was the only person who was possibly educated enough to be a healthcare facility personnel or whatever, right?
Okay.
But what she had an undocumented individual from Asia and her son, who was not even of school age, in this place taking care of these six people. And this little lady could not move these people around, and she was not educated in healthcare. In healthcare at all. She wasn't qualified to give medicine. She wasn't qualified to do really anything. And to top it off, I think her husband came in to help her out through this period. The woman had him living in the garage. And I know that they weren't paying these people even minimum wage. Right?
Okay.
So now you got somebody who's trying to take care of somebody who really isn't qualified to take care of them.
Another thing is...
And she turned around and she made a comment when I was there with Faith about bed sores.
What was that comment?
It was, you know, she pretty much said that she had bed sores. And at that point, I was so frustrated with this whole thing and how her health care is being managed by the quote-unquote power of attorney of questionable circumstances to me, right? I called up the state regulator, not the regulator, the state, you know, department that takes care of children and families.
Okay.
And no, I'm not gonna say the names, okay? But this organization, which is supposed to be for the benefit of the elderly and the children and any other people who are in a family situation need help.
Right.
We're supposed, you know, sent over a ambulance with the police department to pick her up. Now, the only reason the police department was there is because now they have a different authority telling them what to do, okay? So as soon as they come and grab her and take her out of there, I have no clue really what happened except for the fact that as they took her out of here, the person who had the medical power or the power of attorney followed them to the hospital and got them out as quick as they were in. So nobody really found out anything. But it's funny as when...
She was taken to the hospital from this home, and as soon as she was taken there, the power of attorney got her out.
He got her out right back to the home.
Yeah.
Nobody could do anything. But the funny thing is, all of a sudden, there's a sign on the wall instructing people to turn her. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That just happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from the time they put her in there, I think they put her, June or...
27, I believe.
June, right? You know, they're already at the point where they're starving and dehydrating her, and they're setting her up. And this woman, even though she had dementia, every once in a while, you know, the subconscious breaks through and tells you something. She knew what was going on with her. She knew trying to eliminate her. And, of course, it's very easy right now in this whole medical industry because, you know, I'm a baby boomer, right? There's way too many of us. We're too costly to the system. It's a lot easier to get rid of us than have HMOs or whatever medical insurance providers are to take care of us. It's an easy game. And it's also a lot of good money for people to get rid of people like this. They get paid extra money. If they get rid of that person at the beginning of the month, they get paid the whole month for that person, and they throw another person into one of those beds. But what's going on is they're not even taking care of these people. The whole plan was to eliminate her. And this woman.
Yes.
Right? And as I kept going by, they're starving her. They wouldn't allow me in anymore because she didn't like what they said. Well, truth is, I'm the one who made her smile and she ate. I could actually talk her
Yeah, they were forbidding Tim from going in there. And really, I would go in there.
Well,
Tim, thank you for sharing that. They didn't even want me in there.
It finally got to the point where I kept pushing Faith. But this is far for Faith. And Faith has her own emotional disorders that don't help her want to go travel out there. But it's her mother. She's trying to do the best she can do. Right?
Absolutely.
I mean, she's going out there and she's trying her best. But, of course, she was moved further away. And then her plan to move her even further away because she was messing up this whole routine of Dorothy's demise. Right? But eventually it got to the point where Faith got the gumption, got the nerve, and got so fed up that she raced out there one day and she decided, we're going to get her out of here. And she fought.
Mm-hmm.
But I will tell you, the people who were there that day were the people who were going to give her the final shot.
Yeah, that day they were getting ready to give her a final dose. She had white powder on her thing, her tongue. And prior to that,
this is where I need clarification just for me and for the audience. Where was she where was the hospice? Was the hospice brought into this home?
They were contracted to come into service.
Right.
Hospice had records for almost every person in that
home. Hospice is going into the nursing home as well, too, by the way.
No, yeah.
But they were going into this home doing hospice, and I didn't know this woman was for my mother because they wouldn't let me look at medical records. I wasn't allowed to do anything. It was on the sneak.
Yet she's
and
the legal daughter.
Do everything on the sneak, and if I got caught, I was like in all kind of hot water, feeding her, giving her the water bottles anyway, sitting for 4 hours, making sure she drinks her water, putting music on, rubbing her feet, talking to her, giving her tactical feeling, senses, hope, Mom, I'll get you out of here, I'll try my best, I love you, giving her what she was. She would stick her tongue out because she was hungry, and there'd be hardened white powder on it. Like, it, that poor thing.
Okay.
How it must have tasted. And then the bed sores, when you urinate, the ammonia goes into your buttocks, into the bed three, going
they don't
to
even,
four.
We haven't even got to that point. At the point
well,
where...
Well, that's what was happening.
You know, she had bed sores,
mm-hmm.
and the bed sores had to be bad. But we're not allowed to touch her. Faith wasn't allowed to touch her.
I wasn't allowed to touch her or lift the blankets off of her. At the very
mm-hmm.
end, when I got so insane, and I'd say, look at her leg twisted. Why is this? No one's giving me answers. They're already abusing me. They're already wanting to put restraining orders. They're already wanting to arrest me because I want to love and care for my mother, a human being, or no human being should have this. I got so mad that I started
mm-hmm.
ripping her blankets and disobeying and being defiant, where I saw marks all over her heels. Her toes had bed sores. Her ears had bed sores. Her
mm-hmm.
her elbows, different parts of her body, which I snapped up a storm in that place. They didn't. I have to sneak the pictures. This is not even the emergency room. This is the place I was at that they contracted.
Okay.
They snapped her all over the place, snapping pictures everywhere.
Terrible.
Then
okay,
I called 911. Were you on
right.
the phone with when I called 911?
Yes,
I know
absolutely.
I kept calling you for everything. It's so hysterical for me at that time. I can't remember.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's why,
that's
you know, that's what I am here for, is to help people because, you know, I had been through it. And, we fought very hard to save your mother. And, you know, so, you know, it's and the abuse and the exploitation of her and her finances, which this happens, okay? I mean, this happens a lot in families. They will know that their inheritance is waiting if this loved one passes or they're their financial power of attorney. And they go through the money, and they siphon, you know, they do whatever they can
yes.
to rush up the process to get their inheritance. And that is just a fact. I've talked to so many people, and it's a known fact.
I've talked to so many people who tell me the same story over and over again. And my problem with this story is the medical industry is condoning this along with our government officials. This needs to stop.
Absolutely. Because
what's going
that's
on
right.
is
you're
they
right.
are facilitating this behavior.
Yes,
and
it is. It is. This is
held.
A government-funded program.
Yes.
It is. And
they
that is
black.
The plan. When, mm-hmm.
I mean, these nurses and doctors are telling these people what they can do to get rid of their relatives.
That's
what happened
true.
To the Hippocratic Oath?
That's
you
right.
throw that in the trash can.
That's right. That's
and what
true.
Happens
that's,
when
that's
Faith got her mother out of that place, I'm at work, and I'm working
mm-hmm.
an hour away from where I live, and she's telling me what's going on. And I after I got off work, I beelined up to the hospital she was in. And
right.
I walk in, and this woman, she is so bad. Yes, she's one step away from being dead. Yeah, you know, if you don't feed somebody and you don't hydrate them, of course their organs are going to fail and they're going to die.
She was on,
especially if you start throwing
dying.
Opiates
she's
on
like
top
dead.
Of it. You start throwing opiates on
right,
top of it.
Tim.
See what's going on up to the whole country with opiates, you know?
Okay,
right.
So we managed to get IVs in her, which now they're denying they couldn't get IVs. Well, I have pictures of her laying in that hospital room with 4 bags of IVs. We couldn't get it in her other arm. They thought I was a medical emergent medic because of the way I was acting. I said it was just a labor of love. And I was telling them, no, put it in her left, but she's a lefty, so her veins will be more prominent. They were all collapsed. She was choking to death on ammonia, laying and choking on her own fluid, choking, blood poisoning. She had blood poisoning
because of neglect and because
she had
severe neglect.
Because of neglect, she had bed sores all over her body.
Ammonia.
She had pneumonia. She had fluid on her chest, so she was actually suffocating.
Suffocating.
As she was
in. Okay. Now, you're in the hospital.
She was put in at noon. Yeah, she was put in at noon.
Got her to the hospital, and then she's... Tell me how that progressed. Did she start to get better once they got her hydrated?
Yes, after the IVs, the fluid started getting in her. The monitor was very bad, like low numbers. I mean, it was so low that if it went up to 45 or 44, that's whatever that I forget was, it was so bad.
Her blood pressure was way low.
I would jump and go, oh my God, it went from 30 to 44. I was like, I was so ecstatic. And they just had her on. They medicated her bed sores where I took loads of pictures and, I even helped them bandage her ears, her buttocks. I did all of that
so
help.
So there were bed sores, just for clarification for everyone in the audience, that there were bed sores on her ears, on her feet, all over her entire body.
Her heels, her legs,
correct?
But especially the buttocks is where it was becoming in the stage 4 is you see the hole inside, the ligaments, the muscle, it's all gone, it's a hole.
Right.
She was in 3 going into. She had blood poisoning from the bed sores because, you know, she had all these pressure sores that were not taken care of.
Right,
because she was supposed to die.
They can be very deadly. Bed sores are a serious condition.
Yes, she was infected, bed sores.
This is all
choking.
Okay, so tell me this. Okay, I've got that. Okay, so she's in there, and then you get her in there. She's in the hospital. She starts to get better, correct?
Yes.
Okay, all right, so she's getting better, and at that time, is she talking, is she eating, what is she doing?
Well, okay, that was a Wednesday, I believe, and the IVs went in, and she was resting comfortably, but it was touch and go, I'd have to say, but stable, they were stabilizing her. Is that correct, Tim?
Help. I would say that at this point, with all the conditions that she had, they did stabilize her.
She's a fighter.
Okay.
That didn't mean that her time, because of the damage that was done from all of this.
Correct.
Yeah, her time was limited.
Okay, so let me go into Thursday.
Why can't we live comfortably?
Okay.
That's not a problem.
Okay,
Thursday,
all right.
I did not go to the hospital. I was exhausted. And because the power of attorneys live like 2 miles, and I live much further.
Right.
They came in the next day, and this is what I heard. The partner of the power of attorney had such a fit and made them pull, it's not even her mother, the IVs out.
Okay, so this person the next day, okay, so it pulls out, she's doing good. She's
but
getting
I don't
better.
Know
she's
this,
getting
though.
The care.
And I just then, know she's in there, stable, and this and that, so I took the break Thursday. I go in Friday, she's in a room, no IVs in her, but I'm happy because she's mumbling and talking and giggling. And at this point, I'm ecstatic, and I'm figuring. But I'm thinking, why didn't they bring the IVs up? I mean, you know, she would suck those IVs up
on
Wednesday.
All right, you know what, Carly? I'm going to move this along for you, okay?
Yeah, okay.
Because what's
happening,
you know, at this point, what somebody's done is they decided that it's, oh, the IVs are too painful for her. They have to take them out. They're hurting her.
Yeah.
There's a reason why you take the IVs out, because you don't want somebody to survive. When the power attorney came in the first night I was there, the first thing he came out of his mouth is, how long is she going to live? When's she going to die? There's your answer,
mm-hmm.
okay? Now,
mm-hmm.
at this point,
mm-hmm.
because she actually had a doctor who was doing double duty, who was on
yeah.
his off hours, right?
Uh-huh.
He was
uh-huh.
called in to give her antibiotics, not because of pneumonia, right? He comes
right.
all the way in here and to give her antibiotic shot. He's called in. He's called in from his home, eating dinner, to take care of her mother. When he gets there, the power attorney and the power attorney's significant other, wife, whatever, right?
Wife.
Decided,
okay.
No, you don't give her that shot. You can't give her that shot because it's going to hurt her. Now, maybe we can go back to somebody's religious beliefs that go into that aspect, but I'm not into
cults.
So
they're going
okay?
against medical advice, if this is what I'm understanding. They're
yep.
against the doctor comes in, the doctor's wanting yep. to take, he's that concerned. He comes in, he wants to take care of your mom. Obviously, he sees
yeah.
that she can be saved, and, you know, medically. And so he's doing everything he can to get her
yeah.
well. And the power of attorney and the wife come in and say, no, we're not
yeah.
we're not going to do anything to prolong life here. Is that correct?
Yeah, correct.
And really
okay.
all this comes down to is, you know, yes, they've destroyed her so bad. Her time's going to be limited. But she should be comfortable in the time that she's limited. And I don't know about you. I've had plenty of shots. I get blood drawn every month because I'm on blood thinners. Yeah, what's the
sure.
big deal? Doesn't hurt that much. An IV,
right.
IV saving your life. It's not hurting
right.
you.
Correct. Correct.
At this point, the hospital is upset with the power of attorney because
very upset.
You're making them look bad. You put somebody in. They took pictures to make sure everybody knew that this didn't happen while she was in there. And of course, bed sores like this don't happen overnight anyway. Eventually,
because
what happened happen
that's
is
right.
they happen.
They
to,
don't.
You know, the hospital doesn't even want to bear anymore.
So what happened with the hospital? Really, they didn't want it. If you're not going to let us help you, then put it back.
Unless, of course, he went through that hospital's hospice service. Okay.
No, he didn't. They just
right.
said then go
let
through
me ask
go
you
back
guys,
to hospice.
I need to get,
so she went
you know,
back to another hospice.
Yeah, I need to know. Okay, so when she left this hospital. And all of this was going on. There was basically a fight. You guys were fighting for her life. And
mm-hmm.
the power of attorney was ready to give up and wanted
a long
did not
time
want to prolong life. So where did she go from there? A different hospice?
I begged, yes, a different hospital, I thought, near me, so I could a nursing home, so I could be with her. It's 24 hours. It's like I could walk there. Instead, she was put in their dementia hospice unit, not dementia, their hospice
okay,
unit.
Okay, so she was
hospital near me. So I was tricked.
Miami.
So I thought I was getting my way. But I was tricked. She was put back in hospice only but down the street from me so I could just sit with her for 5 days. And then when the end came and they get ready to do their thing, that's a whole nother, that's like a ceremony.
Okay, so a lot of this because I was involved with you in this and I was with you when you were at the hospice. And, you know, I want you to kind of talk about, you know, what they did to your mom at the hospice, you know, what happened. You
the
know,
first,
our
when they transferred her over to the hospice, and I went and saw her, they were nice to me. They had her in a really nice room. They were letting me feed her. I was feeding her. I was happy thinking, wow, this is, she'll be near me, I'll have her. They would fed her, let me feed her. I was able to feed her, love her, TV, bond. And then all of a sudden, after 2 days, they put her in this ugly, horrible, broken down room where you hear the woman next door screaming and the family screaming and then sobbing, and then another family comes in, and then I said, oh my God, I know it's coming. And next thing I know, within 48 hours, I have a nurse towards the end of her life singing, tonight your mother, and I don't have the best voice anymore, tonight your mother's going to die, she will die tonight, running around with some kind of syringe.
So she's actually singing that your mother's
uh-huh.
going to die tonight. So
well, my mother is
what
going in convulsions, choking
mm-hmm.
on her own fluids in convulsions.
Mm-hmm.
Choking and shaking, and I'm running over to her, pounding on her chest, not hard. Mom, Mom, wake up, Mom, please, please. And oh, and her eyes were open wide, and
mm-hmm.
I kept shutting them, and they'd pop open. I'd shut them. I'd say, Mom, Mom, please, please, no, no.
What
oh, your mother, she's going to die.
See? Yes, what medicine did you see the nurses giving your mother?
I told you, there's always white on a tongue.
It was, you know.
I think it was morphine.
Mm-hmm, because you told me that they kept, well, that's how she was murdered.
I'm pretty sure it was morphine.
Uh-huh, they kept putting
mouth, I know at the other place they mentioned morphine, and this place.
It's
okay.
Amazing what's going on, because this is the industry leader in hospice care.
And she was shaking and choking to death, and the woman singing that I couldn't take it anymore, and I'm alone in there, cracking up, watching my mother. It's not like she's just dying peacefully. I don't know where they say, and they peacefully drift. This woman was like doing the shimmy. My mother was kicking and gasping. I can never forget that for the rest of my life, and I don't understand how the other people in my family could even sleep at night.
Well.
From what I saw, this is a mother. She was not a bad mother. She didn't burn anyone with cigarettes and set them on fire and tie them and duct tape them in the bathtub.
Mm.
What did she really do that she deserved
okay.
it from her children? And then this nut job is singing that I had to run out of there. I feel bad for the poor patients because I started calling the nurse this thing. This is what a creature. I started calling her. You know what you are? You're a sick human being. You're sick. You're a murderer. Hospice is a murderer. You're a murderer. I was just like losing it. I was becoming unglued.
Carly.
Yeah.
She died 20 minutes later.
She died 20 minutes later. Okay, Tim. I am so sorry to hear that. Tim, what? Yes, and I understand that you have been in contact with Carol Herman.
After I did all this stuff, she's with the Foundation for Aiding the Elderly. They call
yes.
it FATE. Okay. Now,
mm-hmm.
after Faith's mother died, and one thing about her mother didn't give up. Her mother was not going to let them just kill her. They had to shoot her with drugs to kill her. Okay. She
right.
did not give up. This woman was strong.
Right.
It breaks my heart. Right?
Yeah.
But she, you know, they had to kill her to get rid of her. That's what they had to do. Then they cremated her. Okay? So there's no evidence
mm-hmm.
of
that. No funeral.
And it's funny how the death certificate says MS. Well, one of the symptoms when she got in the hospital is she had advanced MS. Her legs were curling up. Yet the power of attorney would never admit that she had MS or treat her for it. But it's funny how it shows up on the death certificate.
She was treated for MS in her early years, but for some reason on beta interferon was stopped. But
could I break in here, please?
All right. Now, what I'm
yes,
right,
Marty.
Yeah, but
after this, after we went through all this, Carly.
Okay,
hold
guys, for a second, please. We have a caller online. Area
code 618.
Oh, we're really on a roll now. Yeah. Area code 618. Do you have a question or a comment?
618.
Okay. This is Dennis Ball. Hi, everyone.
Hi.
I'm familiar with this case down in Florida, and I want to ask the question if the way this has been described tonight, this appears to me to be a homicide. Has there been a homicide investigation?
What I would say is involuntary euthanasia is murder.
Yes.
You bet.
And that is the point of this entire show, is to let, and I'm glad that you're bringing this up, because this is what's occurring. It is. And we, you know, might, for example, that's why this show was started, is they were murdering, they were trying to murder my grandmother with overdose. They had overdosed her. She was, you know, in the hospital, confirmed that, and the doctors told us that. Now, what is the problem is that we're fighting this, and we report this to the agencies that are supposed to take care of this, and they don't do anything about it, because hospice is such a protected industry.
Well, you're talking about one of the largest, in this case, one of the largest medical providers in the country.
Correct. So I'm glad that you brought that up to the caller, sir. You're absolutely right. It was a homicide, and this is happening. If you read, you know, for example, Ron's book, Self-Euthanasia, he's a hospice whistleblower, and there are so many stories of loved ones that literally watch their loved one be murdered right in front of them in hospice.
Well, Carly, my association with Carol Harmon from Fate was that after this happened, we made contact with Carol, and I had Carol file a complaint with the regulatory agency in the state who regulates these assisted living and nursing home and hospice facilities. Now, I know from reading inspection reports from the time that she was in this facility that they had multiple violations on people who were there who could not properly provide health care, etc.
Right.
It's funny. I live in the regulatory world in building codes, right? And when you start, you get to the point where if somebody can always erase what you've written. If you're trying to do the right thing, there's always somebody who could come around for you and write off what you've done. And that's what happened.
Change record.
Does that answer your question? I wanted to hear more from the listener, Marty.
The one who said homicide?
Yes, Marty.
Dennis. Yes.
Dennis?
Yes, Dennis is still on.
Dennis,
please, just a moment here. We've got less than 2 minutes left here, so we're going to have to wind this up. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Real quickly, Faith, you get a minute, and then you get a minute, Tim. Tell me, what would you say to our listeners tonight to help them, and what to protect their loved ones and to help save their loved ones' lives?
Run for the hills.
I think Dennis
might be able to have a good thing to say, speak for me. Homicide, I would say.
Go for it, Dennis. You have experience,
Dennis,
right?
Dennis, go for it. I'd like Dennis to speak for me.
We need learning what you've learned,
the medical power of attorney. You need to really, which we talked about on a previous show, which is the protected medical decisions document, which is a power of attorney, but it's a strong document, and it will prevent, you know, doctors, let's just say that your power of attorney all of a sudden makes the wrong decision, but you want to live, it even overrides that. So that is a solution. And also another solution to this problem is home health care. Home health care will come, and they will take care of people that are actively dying, and they will not give them lethal drug cocktails to put them into an eternal sedation. We also call this the invisible Holocaust. and they will, but they can manage your pain. So it's pain management versus killing you is what it is.
Wow.
That's what we're doing, and plus, you said
homicide. Because we have to wrap this up, I guess. You had an incident to yourself with your parents?
Yeah, my mother was murdered in Arizona, and that case is still going on. I mean, all these cases are showing the world just how cruel America has become and becoming. And it's just, we've got a real problem here. It's going to have to be done from within to change it. We need, like, Miami Vice, Don Johnson. We need really strong law enforcement coming from some place to help us, like Elliot Ness and the Untouchables.
Okay, everyone, we are out of time. We are out of time. We're going to have to close this down. We need to revisit this issue, Carly, and extend this conversation.
Yes, and I would like to get in touch with Dennis as well and speak with him.
Okay.
And
all right,
thank you so much to my guest. Thank you, Carly.
You're great. Thank you, Marty.
Thank you so much, Tim.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you very much.
And
have
Dennis.
A great night. Bye-bye.
Good night, ladies.
Night, night.